You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, now we are talking about Christian principles for healthy friendships. And today we want to focus on when friendships hurt. So we're talking about some of the betrayals that we might experience, or maybe sometimes we are on the offending side, actually. So we need to keep that in mind as well. So even the best friendships we know hit rough patches, right? Disagreements, misunderstandings, disappointments, all of this happens. But how we handle them can either strengthen the bond or break it completely. And Jesus calls us to be what? Peacemakers. But does that mean avoiding conflict altogether? Is that even possible? Let's talk about how to navigate conflicts and friendships with wisdom and grace and biblical principles. My elder, Nyaneti Rogers, joins us one more time to speak about this very subject. My elder, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us again for yet another installment of the subject. Please speak to us about what the Bible tells us about handling conflicts in relationships.
Thank you so much. When we look at the Bible, people rated differently. Mm-hmm. We have people, we can say, had family setups which put them together. We have people who were together because of communities, and even we have people who met because of friendship. But as today's program dictates, there are conflicts. And this calls for maybe a strategy on how conflict should be handled. We call it the conflict resolution. Like, if you can remember, there is a time where...
Our network seems to be a little bit sketchy there. All right, hopefully we'll be able to get through the conversation with as few interruptions as possible. My elder, are you there? All right, it looks like our network is not on our side. Let's see if we can try and reconnect so that we can have this conversation. But as always, you are invited to engage with us as well and to share your own insights on +27734703520. We're talking about conflict in friendships and how to handle conflict. What does the Bible say about how to handle conflict in friendships? That's what we want to talk about. When you look at social media, it often has its own ideas and its own ways of handling things. If social media is to be believed, it's always everybody else's fault and never our own, right? So let's be realistic about it, friends. That's why when we started off, I said sometimes we have to recognize that maybe we are the ones, we are the offenders. Maybe I'm the toxic one. Is that possible? How can you tell? How do you know if you are the toxic one in the friendship, in the relationship? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that on +27734703520. I believe we have our elder back on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right. Sorry about that interruption there. Our network seems to be not on our side today. So please continue. You were speaking to us about what the Bible tells us about handling conflict.
Yeah, I'd mentioned the case of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And his workmanship and the neighbors. There is even a recorded case of Abraham and his nephew. A lot how they found themselves in a conflict and how they navigated through it, and at the end of the day they maintained their relationship. We have many examples in the Bible of people who are in conflict. Remember of the case of Paul and his colleagues like Luke and the people he worked with, John Mark, and how they did handle their conflict. And at the end of the day, when you read the Paul in Ephesus, at the end of it, you find them coming together again. So there are many things we can learn from these people. Mm-hmm. Like now, we can have a breakdown of how maybe we can navigate through this conflict when it's mentioned in the context of friendship. Like there are points I maybe can bring on board. Like it's good we communicate openly and honestly. Even yesterday we said this. We have an open and honest communication. That is, we need to address the issue at hand directly. So you don't need to let the problems fester. Talk to your friend about what is bothering you in a calm and respectful manner, that at the end of the day you can remain friends. There are some statements we normally use when we are in conflict. Like, for example, instead of saying "you always," you see, that's one way of putting the burden on the other person.
Yeah.
So it's good, maybe when you have that mind of resolving the conflict, you say "I need to," maybe, or "I feel it should be done." ABCD. You begin from your end, such that the person cannot see that you are putting pressure on him. Choose a good time and a place. Find a time and a location where you can both talk openly and honestly without distractions. Because when you are in a conflict, you need to engulf yourself to a given topic, maybe something that has made you to be in conflict.
Mm.
And it's good to actively listen when you are in this scenario. Pay attention, maybe, to what your friend is saying. Don't interrupt or jump to conclusions. You see, there are some people who are not patient enough. Like when you start explaining yourself, they want to interrupt. They want to jump into conclusion, but they want to read your mind. Somebody will say, "I know what you want to say at the end of the day." So it's not good. When you want to solve a conflict, it's good to pay attention and listen. Listen actively, give someone his time to talk, and then at the end of the day, you will give your point, because that way you could have respected that person. If there is something you don't understand fully, it's good to ask clarifying questions. Make sure you understand your friend's perspective. You see, we have different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
From where I stand, I can see number 9 as number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from where you stand, you can see number 9 as number 6.
Mm-hmm.
You are right, depending on your perspective.
Yes.
I am right, depending on my perspective. So if I give you time, I ask clarifying questions. You give me time, you ask me clarifying questions. At the end of the day, you will understand my perspective and I will understand your perspective. That way, I will acknowledge your feelings, you will acknowledge my feelings. So even if I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me, I will try to validate your emotions, you will try to validate my emotions. There is a statement they normally say that we disagree to agree.
Mm.
So if we disagree respectively and at the end of the day agree, you see, we could have made head starts on that.
Yeah.
Another point I say is to focus on solutions. You see, when we are in a conflict,
mm-hmm.
when you speak from the science point of it, they say whenever there is a movement, there is a friction. Whenever there is a movement, there is friction. And where there is friction, a conflict must happen. And hurting, some services must be hurt. So when we have come together and we want to seek for maybe a common ground, a neutral ground, it's good we focus our minds on solutions. We look at solutions, brainstorm together. We work collaboratively to find solutions that maybe can address both of our needs. We put our needs in perspective, both of us. We must be willing to compromise. Like I can say we need to find a common ground and be open to alternative viewpoints. The way you view things is not the same way I view things. So I need to be in a situation where I can compromise some things from my end, at least to accommodate your viewpoint. And when we focus on solutions, it means we are focusing on the future.
Yes.
Because once you have solved the conflict, you focus on rebuilding the friendship and strengthening the bond. At this time, let me say, when two people, you know, there is a verse, it is in the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 3, which says, "Can two walk together unless they agree?"
Mm.
Can two walk together unless they agree? So if we are in disagreement, we need to create a space where we can come into agreement.
Mm.
But this agreement, it's what we say, that we must not agree in everything. They say people working together and they are agreeing 100% of everything, it means either one of them is a sycophant, that is, he wants to please the other one, or the one of them is very stupid, he's just stupid, he's not using his mind. So when two people, that's very true,
yeah.
When two people are working together, let the listener not misquote us, that when you are in a relationship, when you are friends, you must agree in every aspect of life. No. That means if you agree 100% in every aspect of life, one of you is a serious sycophant of the other, or one of you is not using his brain. That's why we say it is stupid.
Yeah.
It's depending on the other one is, on the other one is friend. So when we focus on the future, then it's good. We use this statement which says it's good for us to disagree, but at the end of the day, we agree. That's what I can say. Maybe I can add this point,
that
the last one on this question, that we need to, at times when we cannot agree, the two of us, that's as friends, we can seek guidance, maybe from the third party. That's why at times people go for guidance and the counseling. Like if you are a married couple, if the two of you cannot foster your friendship through conflict resolution amicably, we are allowed to seek guidance, maybe from a spiritual counselor, a pastor, a church elder, someone who knows us when it comes into our conflict resolution. There are blessings that can come with us. So it is good to seek outside help if necessary.
Yeah.
But again, they say at times it's good to take a break if there is need, because at times if the conflict resolution meeting is stormy, like you cannot agree, emotions are flaring up, it's good to take a break and then maybe come to it when the storm could have passed, the storm of emotions.
That's interesting. So how do we approach difficult conversations then, with love and with humility and with enough confidence to be able to say, because some people will be afraid of that conflict. They don't want the conflict, so they'd rather just keep quiet and just deal with the pain in silence for the sake of perceived peace, because that's not real peace. So how would you encourage someone who's really just trying to avoid conflict? How do you encourage that person to have those difficult conversations and still do it with love, with humility, and with confidence?
You see, avoiding a conflict, the first place, is not recommended. And when a conflict has happened, avoiding now to meet to talk about it is not assisting it in any way. If anything, it's just postponing it. It's not good to keep and to harbor grudges to someone. If someone has hurt your feelings and it happens that this is a friend, when you go through psychology, they say at times it's good to express our feelings. It's good to express our feelings, especially to those who are close to us, because at times also they say people who hurt us most are those who are closest to us, and that's why we say these are our friends. So when our friendship has hit rocks, when our friendship has gained some conflicts, It's not good to avoid meeting these people, maybe to resolve that conflict. It's good to do maybe these four things, if I can say. One, we need to listen. This one, we have said it repeatedly. We need to listen to our partners. We need to listen to our friends. Those who are close to us, even at our workplace, at least to hear what is their point of view about the conflict. So when you have listened and you listen empathically, then you are able to solve that conflict. Number two, it is good to express our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times we pretend. When you just like you have said, we need peace, and the Bible is saying that we need to be peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need peace, you pretend that you are okay with everybody. That's not true. That's not good. If things are not okay, just say things are not okay, and then together you seek for peace. Mm-hmm. Because when you pretend that things are okay, it will hurt you inwardly. Number three, it's good to acknowledge mistakes. When I have realized that I've done a mistake and my friend has told me this is wrong, as a Christian, it's good I acknowledge my mistakes. It's good, you know, when you read Steps to Christ, to Christ guides us that a sinner cannot seek redemption of Christ if this sinner has not accepted that he is a sinner. You see, you cannot repent if you have not accepted that you are a sinner. So it's good to acknowledge that we have mistakes when these mistakes are there, and then we seek a way forward from that mistake. Mm-hmm. Then maybe lastly on this point, it's good to set boundaries. You know, at times people are manipulative.
Yeah.
When they realize maybe they can manipulate you into their things, you are a friend. And maybe there is a friend somewhere who is gaining from this friendship, and they need to have that gaining and profiting continued. They can manipulate you into agreeing with their things. It's good as a Christian to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. If you realize people are misusing you in the name of friendship, in the name of Christianity, in the name of brethren, like they want to maintain that peace environment, it's good to set boundaries and say, no, beyond here, it cannot work.
Yeah.
And you know, when you set boundaries, people will know that you are a principal. And as a Christian, when you are a principal, people will respect you as also you respect them.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, as we're wrapping up, how do we forgive a friend who has hurt us deeply? Because that's one of the most difficult things to do. How do we go about doing that? What does true forgiveness look like? And how do we move forward?
Forgiveness is broad, and it's something that is very practical. But at times, I also tend to believe that forgiveness is a spirit. It's a spiritual gift. It's something that comes from the spirit. Like you cannot do it with a carnal mind. You cannot just do it freely like anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, it's good we borrow a leave from Christ Himself, because He has taught us about forgiveness. You know, we are forgiven first of all when we realize that we have gone against God's principles, God's commandments, but He has always forgiven us. We also need to forgive others, because even the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm.
But there is a way the world is teaching us nowadays that we have human rights, that we have our rights. You see, when our rights are violated, at times we even seek validation of courts. You go to the world, you seek the interpretation of the lawyers on some things. And then when it goes beyond there, you see, when you come back to the court of heaven, where forgiveness is also paramount, it does not go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So at times as Christians, it's good we have this element of forgiveness. How do we forgive others? First of all, it's to realize that we have also been forgiven. And, you know, they say, I can forgive you, but I will not forget.
Yeah.
And that's why we are bringing in the Spirit, because when you do it spiritually, the Spirit will enable us to not only forgive, but also forget.
Mm.
Such that when this thing recurs, you cannot remember explicitly what happened. There is an author who says, as a Christian, we can manage to bar bad feelings to come into our minds, just like the way we cannot allow birds to build nests on our heads. You know, when you allow a bird to build the nest on your head, that means you can allow some grudges to have deep roots into our brains,
mm-hmm.
that you can remember forever. But when somebody has messed you up, you can wish it away through the strength of the Spirit, because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me power to do.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is hard, but when we are immersed into Christianity, when we are brothers of Christ, when we are sisters and brothers in Christ, it's something we can manage because we are Christians and the Spirit will enable us. But without the Spirit, it's impossible. It's something we cannot manage.
Sure. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Elder, for coming through. And we'll be continuing this conversation tomorrow as we continue speaking on Christian principles for healthy friendships. But for today, thank you so much for your time. God bless you. And we'll chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. May God bless you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.